Hello, and thanks for checking out Chemistry Connections on the Hopewell Valley Student Podcasting Network, a proud partner of HVSPN.com, where students come together to publish content to share with the world. The opinions represented within this episode are those of the content creators only. Please enjoy the show.
Chemistry Connections. My name is Amelia Bass, and I am your host for episode 18 called Cupcake Chemistry. Today, I will be discussing how the ingredients of a cupcake form the magical dessert we all know and love. Cupcakes, the delicious dessert baked for a celebration or eaten as a late night snack. But what goes into the cupcake to give it a moist and fluffy cake? I love baking a variety of treats, but cupcakes are always a classic. Okay. Let's start with the key ingredients of any good cupcake. Flour, butter, sugar, eggs, vanilla, leaveners like baking powder and baking soda, dairy like sour cream and milk, and of course a good frosting and decorations. In this episode, we will be discussing the chemistry behind two of these ingredients, starting with leaveners, like the thing that gives the cupcake a light and fluffy texture. Leaveners are probably the most important ingredient in a cupcake. It is used to help the cupcake rise, giving it a light and fluffy texture. So, what is a leavener? Like, what is the ingredient that is doing the rising? Baking soda and baking powder are what recipes will commonly call for. Now, some will call for both of these leaveners, but wait, why is that? Why do I need two? Hold on to that idea, and we'll come back to it later. Let's first analyze what these two substances even are. Baking soda, sodium bicarbonate, is a base used to neutralize any acidic components in the batter. Acidic components are like chocolate or citrus, depending on the flavor of the cupcake. When the cupcakes are baked in the oven, the baking soda, or NaHCO3, in the batter, turns into sodium carbonate, water, and carbon dioxide. The key to this reaction is the production of carbon dioxide, which is released as bubbles, causing the batter to rise. Baking powder, on the other hand, is a dry mixture that contains baking soda, acid salts, and cornstarch. Whoa, there's baking soda in baking powder? Why do I need both? The baking soda in the baking powder reacts with the acid salts in the powder only when the mixture is moistened. The cornstarch is a drying agent used to prevent the acid and baking soda reaction from occurring. So now that we better understand the substances we are talking about, why would a recipe call for both baking soda and baking powder? In the reaction with baking soda, a base with a pH of 8.5, one of the products is sodium carbonate, an even stronger base with a pH of 11.5. This will cause the entire mixture to be too basic, resulting in a bad cupcake. That cupcake is not going to sit well with whoever eats it. So, we use a larger amount of baking powder to do the heavy lifting, acting as the rising agent to give us our lovely fluffy cupcake, and then use a smaller amount of baking soda to neutralize any other acids in the batter. This is a good cupcake. When you think of baking, the first ingredient almost anyone will think of is flour. All-purpose flour for all my baking purposes. But is that the best type of flour? Wait, hold on. Did I just say type of flour? As in there are other types of flour? Yes! Now, don't stress, all-purpose flour is still good for almost anything you're trying to make. However, to achieve optimal results, there are other options for the type of flour you use. But what's the difference? Isn't all flour the same? Isn't it made from the same stuff? The differences between types of flour, like cake flour, all-purpose flour, bread flour, etc., is the level of protein in the flour. Protein? Flour has protein? Yes, it does. And it gives the cupcake, or whatever you're baking, its texture. Flour is made from wheat, which contains two types of proteins, glutenin and gliadin. When water is added, these two proteins link together and form gluten. Gliadin gives it the ability to stretch, and glutenin gives it the ability to snap back. The strength of gluten is what makes flour the structural component of cupcakes. Gluten is a string of amino acids, 35 of which being glutamines. Glutamines form numerous interchain hydrogen bonds with other amino acids. Individually, these bonds are weaker, but in combination, they are very strong, contributing to the high cohesiveness of gluten. Also, the hydrophobic interactions, meaning the repulsion of water, result in strong cohesions in the batter. Flours with higher protein content means it has more gluten-forming potential. Therefore, the flour is stronger. So, how does this relate to cupcakes? Cupcakes don't stretch and snap. True. So, the flour used to make cupcakes, cake flour, has a protein percentage of 10%. This is considered low protein, giving the cupcake its soft texture. The commonly used all-purpose flour has a protein percentage of 11.7, which sits in a comfortable middle level. This is usable and won't result in a drastic change in texture, but cake flour is still better. So there we have it, the chemistry of a cupcake. I love cupcakes. I think my favorite flavor to make would be chocolate or strawberry. My favorite part of making cupcakes is piping decorations on top. Whether it's a simple flower or more detailed decorations, I always have fun. The main reason I chose to do this topic was to have an excuse to bake cupcakes, and I look forward to how they turn out. Thank you for listening to this episode of Chemistry Connections. For more student-ran podcasts and digital content, make sure you visit www.hvspn.com. Thank you.